Number 9, 57 through 62, through the end of the of this particular chapter. We're going to read this and then center our lesson around the text we gave, taking responsibility. Taking responsibility. Now, I had a struggle today. Taking responsibility was going to be the morning lesson, and the new order was going to be tonight. But I worked and I struggled, and they turned around, so here it is. But in the 57th verse of Luke chapter number 9, the Bible says, "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who are at my house.' But Jesus said, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" When we began to look at this text, talking about taking responsibility, we find that when it comes to putting God first, mankind has most of the time been agreeable with putting God first. But this agreeability is only if God is willing to allow some provisions for man's desire to have equal importance with God's will. Now, that was a mouthful, so let me try to re-say what I just said. Man is saying, "Okay, God, I'll do what you told me to do, but you're going to have to give me some leeway to work the things on my schedule in while I'm working your schedule in." This is how man tend to focus on doing what God has called him to do for the most part. But the command, "Follow me," as Jesus put it, when he talked in this particular text to those in biblical time, Jesus says, "Follow me." But the man says, "Okay, Lord, I'll follow you. But first, you're going to have to let me go bury my dead." Jesus goes a little further, and he says, "Follow me," to another, and another say, "Okay, Lord, I'll follow you. But first, you're going to have to let me go bid them farewell that's at my house." Basically, he said, "As soon as I get my dead buried, Lord, I'll do exactly what you said. As soon as I bid farewell to those in my house, I'll gladly be willing to follow you." Going back to what we said earlier, man is agreeable, but he's only agreeable if God allowed provisions for his desires to be balanced with God's desire. So as we began to look at this whole thing, we talk about taking responsibility. Now, one of the things we need to understand in Bible days, when you bury it dead, it normally took at least 30 days. It was not a two-hour funeral. Normally took 30 days, you know, because they put them away and they mourned and so forth. So he said, "I'll follow you. Just give me 30 days off." Lord is saying, "My business does not allow 30 days to be off." And even now, if there's a business of God and it comes to burying the dead, he's even asking us to weigh which of these are supposed to be most important and take responsibility. And so here, when we began to look, we see what God really meant when he gave the command, "Follow me." The command, "Follow me," means to join him as his attendant. And it's hard to be an attendant if I can't be there. The command to follow me means to cleave steadfastly to him. The command to follow me means to conform wholly to his example in living and, if need be, in dying also. This is what our Lord was saying. When we read some of the many texts that we read earlier, especially about the Apostle Peter. You know, when the Lord talked to Peter about following me, he said, now, they're going to call you to scatter. And you know what Peter said? Oh, no. He says, even if I have to die, I'll follow you. And then the text that we read in Bible study this morning said, and so said they all. You see, all of them said, I'll follow you. But you see here, when we look, the Lord is not just saying, follow me, but he's saying, I want you to take responsibility. It's kind of like raising a child. All of us raise a child. You know what that means? That means that you are on their schedule until they get big. Y'all get that? You're on the child's schedule until they get big. And then when it's time to put them off of your schedule, they still won't on your schedule. So this is what that means, and this is what the Lord said. You on his schedule as long as you are there to follow him. Jesus finishing this piece of text that he was writing to them to follow him, he used a farming term because people in that particular area used a farming term. And at the same time, he coupled the attentiveness or the attentiveness to perfection in farming to Christianity. This is what he did. He took farming and he talked about perfection in farming and he coupled it with Christianity. And he says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I looked that particular term up and all I could find on that says this. It says in the farming community, and there, you know, when you're looking at farming, it's considered as, you know, perfection. And even back in the day, if you just didn't have a farm that looked like something, it just appeared that you wasn't going to make anything. So those whose profession was farming, they wanted it to look right. Now, I had an uncle who always had crooked roads. And my uncle's theory was crooked roads make more than straight roads because they have more crooked roads than straight roads. But the real good farmers really want their crops to be polished. And so here is what it means. It says, one who plows must look before him so as not to plow a crooked or a bad furrow. So here the whole view in that community was to stay the course, and not only that, but the crooked or bad furrow, if it got away from you, you could actually kill all of the vegetation that you had there, all the plants that you had, if you didn't. So Jesus used this, and he said, one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And this whole thing also, he who desires to be a member of the Lord's kingdom should never allow other matters to distract his attention. So the comparison here is when we're plowing, when we're doing our business, other matters should distract our attention. And here he said, in the kingdom of God, other matters shouldn't distract our attention from doing God's will. Now, that all has to do with whether or not I have taken responsibility, whether or not I have sought God's kingdom first and put him first in what I'm doing, or if my desires have moved in to be at the top of what I would like to have done on this particular day. Something said by great people about taking responsibility, and I tended to like some of these things. One of the particular things that said about taking responsibility is this. People now focus more on their right than on their responsibility. You know, if somebody's treating us real, real bad as Christians, too often we focus on our right rather than on our responsibility. It's my right. You see, our responsibility is to love our enemies, to do good to them that curse us. That's our responsibility, you see. The law, the constitutional law says we have a right. But the law of God says we have a responsibility. And, you know, I like this one. The one that I like is this. Well, you know, as humans, you know how we'll put that in sometimes? And so the whole view is, just because I rationalize it and make it make sense, does that make it right in God's sight? Another thing that's said is this. Good leaders never embrace a victim mentality. You know when we got something ugly to go do? Sometimes we become a victim, you know. We face that victim mentality. I could just see if Hosea had faced a victim mentality. You know, when God said to Hosea, go take you a harlot for a wife, I could just see him taking a victim mentality. But instead, God's man stayed the course, and he lived with that wife. He went back, and he got that wife, and he brought her back home no matter what she did wrong. Because God told him to go take him a wife, and the reason God needed Hosea to take a wife of harlotry, he needed to live with a harlot to understand the spiritual harlotry of how Israel lived so he would make a great prophet. So therefore, Hosea took responsibility instead of becoming a victim of the things that God had assigned to his hand. These people who never embrace a victim mentality, they recognize that who and where they are remains their responsibility. Let me tell you one who didn't become a victim. Job did not become a victim. Job could have became a victim. But with all that Job went through, he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He also said, relative to all the problems that he was having, he says, I'm going to wait till my change comes. I looked that up, and here's what it meant. He says, I'm going to stay in whatever position God has put me in until a change comes where God doesn't need me there anymore, and he puts somebody else there to take my place. We should not become victims, but we need to remember that who we are and where we are is our responsibility. Responsible people never protest thinking or saying, that's not my job. Responsible people don't do that. Responsible people are willing to do whatever it takes to complete the work needed by the organization that they are a part of. You see, if we ever get to the place to where we never protest, the Lord's church is going to excel and it's going to grow with leaps and bounds because responsible people step up to the plate. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you got to do everything else and everybody else sit back? It may. Because I didn't sign on to see what you're going to do. I signed on to do because I love and because he first loved me. These are the kind of things that we got to understand. Now, we could go back and try to rationalize and we could always stick the child's viewpoint in. My child's viewpoint all the way through life while she was at home is, it's not fair. And I know you parents have never heard that before. This is the view that we get because if it's not going somebody's way, they scream out, it's not fair. But that viewpoint is never there. It's our job to take responsibility. The last one of these that I found was the ultimate quality of responsible people is the ability to finish. Ultimate quality, the ability to finish. You see, when you look at our Lord, even while hanging on the cross, he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. But he did say, not my will, but your will be done. You see, responsible people, the ultimate quality of those people's ability to finish. Now, if you look at scriptures like Isaiah chapter number 53, Jesus was not one of the polished people of the day. As a matter of fact, since he didn't have great name recognition, He was just another rebel rouser and a renegade, moving in on the territory of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other great people who had worked all the deals out. And now he's coming in teaching another gospel and one other thing, they said, and he's coming in pretending he's king, and Caesar is already the king, and now you got this rebel rouser pretending that he's going to be king. But still, no matter what they said or what they did, he ultimately finished the course. I'm sure that while there on that great day of Pentecost, I'm sure that while there at the cross, I'm sure when you see darkness come over the whole earth, and I looked up that particular thing, and it says it didn't, the sun didn't just go behind, it went dark, it went black out there. And I understand it was a darkness where you couldn't see your hand before your face. I'm sure that when they heard all this rushing mighty wind come on the Pentecost, I'm sure all of these things, and all of a sudden, though they didn't want to give in, I'm sure they were whispering, you know, well, it may be something to that rebel and that renegade that called himself Jesus, you see. I'm sure these particular things happened. Therefore, when we look at the big picture and when we look at things like, you know, we need to focus on our responsibility, not on our rights, not become victim, never protest, and then ultimately finish the course. You remember what the Apostle Paul said. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. You see, what Paul has said, I took responsibility, and it doesn't matter if I was beaten many times and left for dead. It doesn't matter if I was left in the cold. It doesn't matter if I was thrown out of the city. My goal was to finish the job that's been assigned to my hand. So as children of God, let us focus more on our responsibility and not on our rights. You see, the Constitution won't be in heaven. Constitution won't be up there. So rights won't matter. But let us focus on our responsibility. Let us never be victims, but realize that who we are and where we are always remain our responsibility. You know, many times we talk about our ethnicity. We talk about how poor we were when we came up. None of these things count because God is no respecter of persons. That was another one, not the one that I'm talking to. The other one failed, okay? And then let us never protest. It is always our job, and we must do whatever it takes to complete the work. I remember Jesus said this: I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And lastly, we must yearn to develop the ultimate quality of a responsible person. And God will always bless us with the ability to finish. You see, if we work to be what we ought to be, then God will bless us to be where we need to be. But we got to have enough faith to believe in that, and then he'll deliver us. You see, that's one of those things that's tough. Do we have enough faith? And then, do we trust God to deliver us since he said he was going to do it? And I've always wondered, what if God just let me die in that situation but take me on to heaven? Have you ever thought about it like this? You know, too often I just think about dying. But what if he let me die but take me on to heaven? You see, you win. We got to have enough faith to trust him, take total responsibility for what's been assigned to us. And God has already done what he said he would do if I'll just live that. Taking responsibility. God is calling us. And you know, we all got to step up. There's some things that I need to do a little bit more of. I hope today that you've done something productive. Not just to help you, but to encourage a brother or sister. Oh, we've done that. And if we haven't, we still got about 20 minutes before bedtime. Matter of fact, you got 30 minutes because we're letting you out 30 minutes early. And you can go and you can encourage a sister or brother. I know there's somebody that needed encouraging today. We can look around. We can find somebody. And you know how I feel when you encourage me? I really feel good. And I bet they just might feel good. You know, I've sent out a car here, there, and yonder. And it would be 4 months. And you know, people will walk up and say, thank you so much for the correspondence. You understand what I'm saying? We need to do that. Take responsibility. Step up to the plate. It's not how much, but it's that we all get busy doing something. And when we get there, we're going to improve where we are. Now, you know, I don't know what you all see when y'all look at the Church of Christ on the highway. But here's what I see. I see the Lord's church here. But I see pieces of blocks in the Lord's church missing that I need to help to do something about. Now, you can't make us do it, but we can encourage. We can do it. And you know, if all else fails, God could put a star in your crown for trying so hard and send you on to heaven. And you know, if nobody get up there but me and you, we'll just have a ball. But I hope all of us get up there, and we all have a ball, you see. But this is what's got to happen. But no matter how many of us go to the other place, the word is, it's not going to be any fun. Now, that's the word I got on that. I really, that's one of the things. You know how when I was a teenager, I always wanted to check stuff out myself. That's one of the things I don't want to check out. I'm going to take the rich man's view. You see, he checked it out for us, and he sent back. And I'm going to take his view on that. One of the responsibilities I'm going to take is not to try to do what the rich man has already done for us and try to do it my way. So let us just focus. And let us just think. And let us think about what happens if I take responsibility. What happens if I do something just 52 times in the coming year? But what happens, you know, this morning we had 51 people. If 51 people did something 52 times, just think how many of us will be touched and will be helped if we just take responsibility. Now, I know some of us already do more and some of us can do more, but do y'all see the point that I'm talking about? See, if we all step up, we need to be encouraged because we're just not quite doing it like we ought to. So therefore, God is saying to all of us, now look at your life. Look at your life and see where you are. And let's reevaluate. That's why I kind of like what gets said at communion most of the time. But let a man examine himself. Let's reexamine ourselves all the time. Let's reevaluate how we did it. Could I do a better job? Did I do a good job? Did I mess up? You know how sometimes you do something you thought you did good and then about a day later you feel bad about it? That's called an evaluation, and we're trying to make ourselves better and take responsibility for how we're going to handle it next time. And I'll tell you a good way to handle a lot of stuff. Don't try to answer it with anything verbal right off. Y'all get that? If someone giving you a hard time, don't talk for a little while till you got time to think. Because normally if I talk just right off, I'll just automatically mess it up. Just automatically mess it up. Now, sometimes I get beat up for not talking, but I like myself much better when I get beat up for not talking than I do when I get beat up for talking. Because when I get beat up for not talking, at least I got time to try to pull together how I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And as much as I like to talk, that's hard for me. But I'm trying to take responsibility to do what's right in God's sight. So let's all join hands and let's do that. And God is calling us. Whatever we need, if we need to recommit ourselves, if we need to change the way we're doing something and do more, then let's make that commitment to God. If we need prayer, let's ask for prayer this evening as we join hands. Whatever it is, request it and come to Jesus right now as we stand and as we say.
shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord.